Welcome to the Church of England's weekly podcast. This week's news includes the Archbishop of Canterbury, who's been in Rome to sign a joint declaration of religious leaders against modern slavery, and research showing more Church of England parishes helping people with debt problems. Also, a version of a Christmas carol, as you've probably never heard it before.
Mary, manger, donkey, snow. This is a picture, you know, you got the postcard at home. But open the book, I ain't no wise man, I know. Bro, parts of the story, you just don't get told. But this is true.
But first, the Church of England's national investing bodies are putting pressure on two of the world's biggest oil and gas companies to improve their record on carbon emissions. The bodies work with businesses they invest in on ethical issues that are of most importance in the church. Edward Mason has been head of responsible investment at the Church of England since the summer.
Well, climate change is really the biggest issue on our agenda at the moment. It's the ethical investment issue that church stakeholders are really interested in at the moment. It's something we've worked on for a long time, but we've been stepping up our engagement recently. And in 2012, we set up this programme that we call Aiming for A, which is to encourage the 10 largest extractives and utilities companies in the UK to aim for the highest possible rating for their performance on managing their emissions and also their response to climate change generally. And there's an NGO that we support called the Carbon Disclosure Project, or CDP, that rates companies around the world for their performance. So we use their ratings, so it's externally validated. And we've achieved a huge amount of success through this program. When we started, some of the companies that we're engaging with were rated C. One of them was rated an E. This year, all their ratings were A or B. So we're really pleased that this shows that sustained engagement can have an impact. But the shareholder resolutions now about taking this further. BP and Shell are the companies listed in the UK who have the highest carbon emissions. They're both rated as B for their performance on carbon management and climate change at the moment. So we would really like them to achieve an A rating. So these resolutions were intended to encourage them to do that and also to manage their businesses strategically with a view to the transition to a low carbon economy. So not just focusing on the short term, but focusing on the longer term, what kind of assets they're going to need in the longer term as we move to a lower carbon economy, how much they're investing in research and development on clean energy. So all these issues are covered in the resolution, and we want the companies to report to their shareholders and really describe in a convincing way what they're doing to meet these challenges of the future.
How do you feel you're received by the companies when you're going to them and asking to engage on things like alcohol and climate change?
It's very rare that a company won't engage with us. And if we stick at it, then in my time, which is coming up for 6 years now, I've never not managed to engage with a company that we want to engage with. And generally, we are received really well. Major British companies, in particular, where kind of knowledge of the Church of England is strongest, want to talk to the Church of England. They want to know what we think about the challenging areas of their business, the difficult dilemmas that they face. They're in tough competitive environments, but these companies, they want to be responsible corporate citizens by and large. And our role is to encourage them in that journey. So it's rarely confrontational. We like to think of it as kind of living out being Christian salt and light in the world of business. So often it's about walking with business and helping them to move to higher standards of corporate behaviour.
Edward Mason has written a blog about the shareholders' resolution to BP and Shell, which you can find by clicking on the blogs box on the front page of our website. It also has a link to a longer interview with him. The Archbishop of Canterbury has been in Rome this week to sign a declaration with other faith leaders about modern slavery. It states that human trafficking, forced labour, prostitution and organ trafficking are crimes against humanity, and the leaders affirmed their commitment to inspiring spiritual and practical action to eradicate modern slavery. The Archbishop said faith leaders can make sure that every worshipping community knows about modern slavery and is ready to work to prevent and end such abuses.
Two dioceses are already heavily involved in teaching and training people about this, to make people much more aware, to make them ask questions of where they buy things, where they invest, who they buy things from, how they might be made. So it's raising consciousness is a very important part of that. If you look at the modern slavery bill, we're moving, it's not quite there yet, but there are obligations on retailers to work on their supply chains in the modern slavery bill that's going through Parliament. It's a start. There's further to go. I've been involved in running ethical funds and have seen where when the manager of a big ethical fund rings up a major retailer and says, "You know, are you sure you're clear?" And they say, "Well, we're fairly sure." And he says, "That's not good enough. We happen to know you're using this plant and this is happening." It has a huge impact very quickly.
A report released by the Church Urban Fund has shown that nearly half of parishes are giving help to people who have debt problems. The number has gone up by 7% in the last 3 years, with more than a fifth of churches who responded to the survey running debt advice or budgeting courses. I spoke to Bethany Eckley, who's CUF's policy and research manager. She says it was a welcome result to see the number of churches offering help had gone up.
We think maybe one of the causes of this was the Archbishop's intervention last summer around credit unions and payday lenders, because we know that certainly raised awareness within the church of the issues and difficulties many people are facing, but also the provision of help through credit unions and how churches can be a support as well. So we think that maybe churches are kind of getting involved in this area as a result of that intervention.
I suppose there could be a flip side to that, though, which is if more churches are offering help, then there are more people who are needing help. So is that something we should be concerned about?
It's not necessarily the case that just because churches are providing more help that more people are needing help. I don't think that supply is driving demand in this area. We know that there are big factors here about why people are struggling to make ends meet. Just briefly, wages are stagnating, not keeping up with inflation. The cost of living is rising, has risen significantly in the last few years. And also the amount of support available for people has fallen through changes to benefits and the removal of social funds. So for these kind of bigger reasons, we know that many families, many people are under a lot of pressure to make ends meet. And it's amazing that churches are able to provide the help that they are in communities at a very local level and to get alongside people and to help them through very difficult times.
Is it your experiences that churches are well equipped to be offering that kind of help and advice?
If there is expertise in-house or the capacity to gain that expertise, then they might offer perhaps, a formally accredited kind of debt advice service. However, if perhaps a church is a bit smaller and that's not a capacity to do that, they'll provide help in a different way. We know that rural churches are often a bit smaller and provide help on a more informal relational basis. But both ways are great. And it is amazing the way churches are able to be in communities and help people really where they're at and provide support that is quite specific, it's relationally based, it's holistic, and is often more effective actually at getting people through those difficult times and enabling them in the future to not fall into that difficulty again.
Now, one of the pressures that you talked about is Christmas upon us. That must be a particularly worrying time.
Yes, there's a lot of expectation around Christmas about what you're going to provide if you're a parent, the presents you're going to buy for your children, if you have family coming to stay, the amount of food you might have to buy. So it can be quite a stressful time for people. And what we're doing at Church Urban Fund this Christmas is really raising awareness of the issues of financial exclusion and problem debt. And we're doing that primarily through our Advent calendar. So people can sign up to our Advent calendar and every day see information about these issues, either through videos, through reports, through statistics, and also be encouraged to pray for people in their areas that are experiencing these kinds of problems. We want to encourage churches to think about this, to be aware of what people in their areas might be struggling with this Christmas. And we want to provide the support and resources for people to equip themselves more to respond to these issues.
That's Bethany Eckley, The Advent calendar is available online at the Church Urban Fund's website. A church mission worker from Carlisle has recorded a carol with a difference for Christmas this year. Andy Dykes has remixed God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen as a rap after a similar project was an online hit last year. His work will be featured on Songs of Praise. Andy says he worked with friends to come up with a carol with a clear Christmas and Christian message that would also appeal to young people.
God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Saviour was born on Christmas Day. To save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort, comfort and joy.
Mary, manger, donkey, snow. This is a picture, you know you got the postcard at home. But open the book, I ain't no wise man, I know. Parts of the story you just don't get told, but this is truth, proof, God loved the earth, approved teenage.
I guess both through the remixing of a carol and also through having the cathedral, we bring the two parts together, the traditional and the contemporary. And I think it's quite a good underlying message for young adults who are watching it, that they can see that the church is one body, that it is working together, and actually the appealing bits aren't just kind of maybe shunning the rest of the church and moving away, but actually this is the same church, this is the same message, it's the same Christmas and the same Jesus that we're talking about. And I think that's an underlying theme that that some people like and some people don't like, I guess. We need to find a way to get this message of the hope of Jesus out to young adults. We need to find a way to engage them with it. It's going to have to be online, it's going to have to be through social media, it's going to have to be through video, it seems. You know, that is the big player now in how ideas are spreading. And so that was the main drive, really. How can we get the message of Jesus out? And what skills do we have to do that? And for me, that was music and video and that kind of thing. So it just seemed to naturally fit together. Lots of different people have sent me a lot of kind messages about it, actually. There's been many thousand views online, which has been great. And a lot of different people who you wouldn't necessarily expect to enjoy the music or whatever, saying, you know, maybe I don't enjoy rap, but actually I really loved the rich theology that was in the lyrics. Or someone saying, wow, she has an amazing voice, and that was just absolutely beautiful.
And you can hear the full track by going to the Diocese of Carlisle's website. It's on the front page. That's it for this week's programme. Next week, after the announcement that a £15 million fund is to be made available to listed places of worship to repair roofs, I'll be speaking to the Director of Cathedral and Church Buildings to find out what difference it'll make. And you can find all the links to the reports from today on the front page of the Church of England's website. I'm Gillian Moody. Thanks for listening.